Perfect Peace, Part 1 by Maria Fontaine.
Biblical principles are timeless because no matter what our circumstances, or our age, or the times we live in, they hold true as much today as ever. The Bible says that God wants to give us His perfect peace in place of our anxiety, stress, and fear. The Lord drew my attention to an article which is almost like a mini course on how to access and grow that peace that God offers us. The author of the article, J.R. Miller, looks at each step in the process of applying and developing this wonderful gift in our lives as Jesus intends for us to do. Yes, Jesus will help you when you cry out to Him in times of crisis, but He also wants to help you to live in a way that allows His peace to permeate your life on a daily basis. In order to do this, it's necessary to exercise that gift of peace. This takes time and effort. The life of faith is filled with crises and hardships, successes and failures. However, through them all, what matters is that we learn to trust Him and find that perfect peace no matter what we face. I have found that the more I fill my heart and mind with God's Word, the easier it gets to trust Him and the more peace I have. I encourage you to read the following article, which I have divided into two posts. I think it will be more than worth your while. The short anecdotes, examples, and poems scattered throughout offer illustrations of the steps we can take to continue growing in His peace, built not on hoping, but on knowing that He is there, ready to help us and keep us. Please enjoy this article. Read it, study it, apply it, share it, and may it be a blessing to you in every way. Adapted from In Perfect Peace by J.R. Miller, 1902. Perfect peace. That is what we all want. That, too, is what Christ offers us in His gospel. Among His farewell words, we find this bequest: Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. After His return from the grave, on three occasions He gave the same blessing to His disciples: Peace be unto you. Peace is thus part of the blessed gospel and an essential element of true and full Christian life. Christ desires us to have peace. If we do not have it, we have missed part of the blessing of being a Christian, part of our inheritance as children of God. It is not a particular privilege which is only for a favored few. It is for everyone who believes in Christ and will accept it. Yet do all Christians possess peace? Have all taken into their heart and life this blessing from the Master? How many of us really have Christ's peace today? How many of us lived in the peace of Christ the past week? How many of us are kept in perfect peace through all the circumstances and experiences of our changing lives? What is wrong? Is the gospel really not what it claims to be? Are the blessings it promises only lovely dreams which never are fulfilled, which cannot be fulfilled? Is grace not able to help us to attain that peace? The Bible is full of great words like rest, joy, peace, love, hope. Are these words only illusions, or can these beautiful things be attained? Do Christians, as a rule, expect to have these divine qualities in their lives in the present world? We can say with perfect confidence that these words paint no impossible attainments. For example, peace, it is not a mocking vision which ever flees away from one who tries to clasp it and take it into one's heart. It is not like the sunbeam which the child tries to gather up off the floor in its chubby hand, but which only pours through its fingers and slips from its clasp. Nor is it merely a heavenly attainment which we must wait till we die to get. It is a state into which every believer in Christ may enter here on the earth, and in which he may dwell in all life's changes. It is well worth our while to think what is meant by peace, as the word is used in the Scriptures, and then ask how we may obtain this blessing. The word runs through all the Bible. We find it in the Old Testament, in the benediction used by the priests: The Lord lift up His countenance upon thee, and give thee peace. Here peace is offered as the gift of God, a blessing dropped from heaven into trusting hearts. In Job, in the words of Eliphaz the Temanite, we have the exhortation: Acquaint now thyself with him, and be at peace. According to this word, the way to find peace is by getting acquainted with God. It is because we do not know Him that we are not at rest. In the Psalms are many words about peace. For example, the mountains shall bring peace to the people. The mountains take the storms which beat in fury about their tall peaks. Down at the mountain's base, however, the Sweet Valleys lie in quietness, meanwhile, sheltered and in peace. So it is that Christ met the storms, which exhausted their fury upon him, while those who trust in him nestle in security in the shelter of his love. We have a beautiful illustration of this in two of the psalms which stand side by side. The 22nd is called the Psalm of the Cross. It tells the story of the crucifixion. Its first words, certainly, were used by the Redeemer when he was passing through his dying agony. The psalm is full of the experiences of Calvary. The storms are sweeping fiercely about the mountain's brow. Then how quietly and beautifully the 23rd psalm nestles in the shadow of the 22nd, like a quiet veil at the mountain's foot. It shows us a picture of perfect peace. We see the shepherd leading his flock beside the still waters and making them lie down in the green pastures. Even in the deep valley there is no gloom, for the shepherd walks with his sheep and quiets all their fears. This sweet shepherd psalm could come nowhere but after the Psalm of the Cross. The prophets also tell us much about peace. In Isaiah especially, the word occurs again and again. The Messiah is foretold as the Prince of Peace. Farther on, we come again under the shadow of the cross, and read that the chastisement of our peace was upon him. The security and eternity of our peace are pledged in a wonderful promise which says, "The mountains shall depart, and the hills be removed, but my kindness shall not depart from thee. Neither shall the covenant of my peace be removed, saith the Lord that hath mercy on thee." But it is in the New Testament that the wonderful fullness of the meaning of peace is disclosed. On every page the word shines. The angels sang at the Redeemer's birth, "On earth, peace." At the close of his ministry, Jesus said to his friends, "In me ye might have peace." Over 80 times the word appears in the New Testament, half of these being written by Paul, the homeless, persecuted apostle. The picture of peace. An artist sought to portray peace. He put on his canvas a sea, swept by storms, filled with wrecks, a scene of terror and danger. In the midst of the sea, he painted a great rock, and high up in the rock a cleft, with herbage and flowers, in the midst of which he showed a dove sitting quietly on her nest. These same elements, the rock, the cleft, the soul's hiding place, we have in the hymn. Rock of ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee. For Jesus said, "These things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." The Christian's peace is not found in a place where there is no trouble. It is something which enters the heart and makes it independent of all outside conditions. In the ruins of many old English castles, a well is found deep among the foundations. Thus, water was provided for use in the castle in time of siege. The enemy might cut off the streams which ordinarily supplied the people in the castle with water. They might shut the gates so that no one could go out to bring in water from any stream or spring outside. But the defenders within the walls cared not for any siege while the well in the foundation gave its copious supply of pure fresh water. So it is with the Christian in whose heart the peace of God dwells. He is not dependent upon outside conditions and circumstances, for he carries in himself the secret of his joy, hope, peace, and strength. It is very evident that we cannot hope to live in this world without troubles. No such life is possible. Nor can we hope for a life without sorrow. To love is to weep some time in the journey. Religion does not shelter us from grief. But the peace promised is an experience which neither trial nor sorrow can disturb. It is something that changes sorrow into joy. A tourist writes of finding a freshwater spring beside the sea, as sweet as any that ever gushed from amid the rocks on the mountainside. He took his cup and drank of the water that bubbled up in the sand. Soon the tide rolled in again, pouring its brackish flood over the little spring, and burying it out of sight for hours. But when the bitter surf flowed out, the spring was found sweet as ever. So it is with the peace of God in the believer's heart. It dwells deep. In the day of joy it sings and is glad. Then sorrow comes, and the salt floods pour over the life, covering it. But when the sorrow is past, the heart's peace remained sweet and joyous as ever. A party of tourists were traveling along a country road. As their carriage approached a cottage near the drive, they heard singing. The voice that sang was sweet and rich and of wondrous power. The members of the party were entranced. They stopped to listen as the notes of the song rose higher and clearer. Presently, a young girl came out of the cottage with a basket on her arm. "Please tell us who is singing so sweetly in your cottage," one in the party asked of her. "It is my Uncle Tim, sir," answered the girl. "He has just had a bad turn with his leg, and he is singing away the pain." "Is he young? Can he ever get over the trouble?" asked the young man. "Oh, he is getting a bit old now, sir," replied the girl. "The doctors say he'll never be any better in this world. But he's so good it would make you cry to see him suffering his terrible pain, and then hear him singing the more sweetly the more he is suffering. That is what the peace of God will help us to do. It gives us songs in the night. It puts joy into our hearts when we are in the midst of sorest trouble. It turns our thorns into roses. The life of Christian faith is not freed from pain, but out of the pain comes rich blessing. The crown of thorns must be worn by the Master's friends who follow him faithfully. But the thorns burst into sweet flowers as the light of heaven's morning touches them. God has not promised skies always blue, flower-strewn pathways all our lives through. God has not promised sun without rain, joy without sorrow, peace without pain. But God has promised strength for the day, rest for the labor, light for the way, grace for the trials, help from above, unfailing kindness, undying love. The secret of peace. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. There is music in these words of the old Hebrew prophet. Why can we not get the music into our lives? Why do we not all have this perfect peace in our hearts? Why do we lose the quiet and the calm of our spirits so easily in the world's distractions and troubles? Let us see if we can learn the secret of peace which lies in the prophet's words. The secret is in two parts. One is that the keeping is of God, not us. We cannot keep ourselves in peace. There is a majestic power in self-control, and we should seek to have that power. Not to be master of our own life is to be pitiably weak. We should learn to control our feelings, our emotions, our appetites, our passions, our desires, our temper, our speech. He that rules his own spirit is the greatest of conquerors, greater than he that captures a city. No doubt perfect self-mastery has much to do with keeping the heart quiet in danger, calm and undisturbed in sudden trial. But this is not the real secret of peace. Our self-control reaches but a little way. One may have it and remain unmoved in the face of the most disturbing experiences, and yet not have the peace of God. How shall I quiet my heart? How shall I keep it still? How shall I hush its tremulous start at tidings of good or ill? How shall I gather and hold contentment and peace and rest, wrapping their sweetness fold on fold over my troubled breast? The Spirit of God is still and gentle and mild and sweet. What time His omnipotent, glorious will guides the worlds at His feet. Controlling all lesser things, this turbulent heart of mine, He keeps as under His folded wings, in a peace serene, divine. That is the secret of peace which the old prophet's words reveal. God keeps us. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace. The Bible teaches this truth of the divine keeping as a source of all true security and confidence. There is no other keeping that really avails. It is only when God is our refuge and strength that we can say, "Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea." There is a story of a saintly old man who desired that the only epitaph on his grave should be the word "kept." This word contained the whole history of his life. In one of the Psalms, the lesson is written out for us in full. "The Lord is thy keeper. He that keeps thee will not slumber. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul." It is God who keeps us. It is God alone who can keep us in perfect peace. Only God is eternal, the same yesterday and today and forever. And only when we rest in God and trust in Him can we have a peace which cannot be disturbed. Trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. When we are held in the clasp of His love, we are safe from any disturbance, for He is omnipotent. Our refuge is secure forever, for He is from everlasting to everlasting. We have the same teaching concerning the divine keeping in a passage in one of the epistles of Paul, in which he also gives us the secret of peace. The peace of God shall guard your hearts and your thoughts in Christ Jesus. The figure is military. Men sleep in quiet confidence in their tents in the darkest nights in time of war, in the presence of the enemy, because sentinels wake and watch through all the darkness. God's own peace keeps guard over our hearts and thoughts, so that nothing shall ever disturb us or alarm us. Nothing ever can disturb God. He looks without fear upon the wildest storms. He is never dismayed by things which seem to us calamitous. His infinite and eternal peace will guard us and keep us in the shelter of His own blessed quiet and calm. This is part of the great secret of peace which we are trying to learn. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace. It is God's omnipotence that keeps us. It is God's Spirit who broods over the turbulent floods of life and brings order out of chaos. It is God's Son who stands on the vessel amid the wild storms and compels them to become quiet and still at His feet. It is God's grace that enters into the believer's heart and abides there as a well of living water within, springing up into everlasting life. We cannot command our own spirit and compel it to be at rest when sorrow or peril is on every side. God alone can keep us in peace. Nothing that is not infinite and eternal can be a safe and secure hiding place for an immortal life.
You've been listening to an audio production by The Family International. Visit us at www.thefamily.org.